Hey everybody, it's Tall But True, episode 3. I can't believe it. We've made it to the third episode. It's a landmark. What's going on? It's Ben Bailey here with regular co-host Mr. DC Benny. What's up, dude?
Hey, what's up, dude? I'm looking forward to this episode, man.
Me too.
We got our boy on here, man.
Yeah. We were like, you know what? Let's try to bang out another episode. Who can we get that's a good storyteller that has some really funny stuff that we really like? And we thought of a guy who actually could do it very last minute, a good friend of ours, very funny guy. He's been on a zillion TV shows and movies.
This guy's been in a million things.
At least seven.
It's Mr. Brian Scalero.
Brian Scalero.
You can do
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Dude, the crowd's going crazy here.
Okay, people, take it easy.
All right, man.
How are you guys?
We are good. Welcome to Tall But True, where the tales might seem tall, but they are true.
Yeah, ish.
Well, yeah,
that's great.
They're true-ish.
It's great you guys are doing this.
Oh, thanks, man. It's great that you could do it so last minute.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about...
That just means I got nothing going on.
Not at all.
Good timing.
Good timing.
You have to poop.
It was perfect. It's only 6 o'clock here, so it's perfect.
Perfect.
That's
perfect.
Awesome, man.
You know, there's still time for old movies and romance with chocolate and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Chocolate.
Yeah. You know, cinnamon toast crunch.
Cinnamon.
I'm doing a show with Tom Rhodes and you know Ian Edwards.
Sure.
Yeah,
of course.
Both good guys.
Some bullshit.
Yeah, we're doing a show tonight downtown LA.
Awesome. Hey, say hi to both of those guys, man.
Say hi to both of those guys for sure.
You know.
Yeah, they're good, motherfuckers.
They're good dudes.
You're doing a show with those guys tonight.
Yeah, Tom Rhodes is, like, running some show downtown.
Wow.
And it's me, him, and Ian Edwards.
Dude, wow.
That's awesome. That's going to be a fun show.
Awesome.
Rhodes is
crazy, man.
Man, I remember Ian back when he had those dreads, you know.
Yeah. Now he's got nothing. He's shaved.
Shaven. Not Jamaican anymore, either.
He's so funny, man. Both those guys are so funny. What'd you say, Brian?
Yeah. When you watch Tom Rhodes perform, you eventually start talking like him for a few hours.
That's funny, man.
It's like Hunter S. Thompson or Mitch Hedberg. You start doing that rhythm. You start moving your body around with waves.
What was that Ian Edwards joke about Jamaicans make any song into reggae? Come down, selector. We say, dashing through the snow. Puyaka, puyaka. Oh, shit.
Awesome.
Dude, it is so cool to have you on, man. It's great to have you on.
I'm really flattered. I love you guys, man. You're like two of my favorite people I've met in 20 years of stand-up.
Awesome.
That's great, dude.
I feel the same about you.
One time, Rhodes and I were hanging out at the Comedy Cellar, and we started drinking, and there's a quick story before we really get into the stories, but whatever, that's what we're doing. I guess it almost applies. We're talking about drugs. That's our theme tonight, everybody, by the way. We're talking drug stories.
You're comfortable discussing that topic, right?
I think so.
Scalaro, you're okay with that?
I'm on drugs right now.
Doesn't offend you. I don't want to offend you.
I'm not going to say anything about that. But so Rhodes and I are sitting at one of the tables at the cellar there, not the table, but another one, and we're drinking, and there's people hanging out, and they're like, and the night's going on and on. I don't know if you guys remember this guy Hassan that used to work there.
Yeah.
Giant, big Hassan.
Always gruff.
Always gruff, angry. We were afraid for the people that worked for him that he was like beating them in the back.
Yeah, he would go in the back.
He would always come out and blame Artie for everything, no matter what happened. He would just come out and be like, Artie! Throw Artie out. So Rhodes and I are sitting at the table, and you know how Rhodes is as Rhodes. Hassan comes out and he's like, you have to move now. Time to go. And Rhodes is like, he goes, whoa, man. Because you're kicking us out. And Hassan is like, yes, time to go. I'm kicking you out. Rhodes is like, he goes, whoa, man. You're kicking out the Rolling Stones? Because you know what you're doing right now? You're kicking out the Rolling Stones, man.
Shoot.
And Hassan doesn't say a word. And so Rhodes is like, you're going to kick out Mick Jagger? You're kicking out Mick Jagger? And Hassan goes, fuck you, Mick Jagger. Get out. And we fell. We were laughing so hard.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
I love that dude. He's a great guy, man. You guys are gonna have a great time tonight. So we should go first. You got a gig to get to. We should talk about your drug story.
You got some drug story, right? Is something you could think of?
Brother, I was just smoking a joint, and you guys called me and asked me to be on the show.
Yeah, it just happened to be holding the joint when you guys called. I'm feeling pretty good. Stories might not be that great. But I remember, after college, I did, acid, six times with my friends.
Wow.
And you learn a lot, you know? There was one time, but they wanted us to do, we wanted to do mushrooms. And I was like, all right. So I ate a mushroom, and then sometime we walked to a park, and I'm standing by a little lake, where the movie Men in Black ended, the park in Queens.
Yeah, you're right. They're like Flushing Meadows, where the old World's Fairgrounds are.
Yeah. So I'm standing there, and I'm like, you know what, Brian? You're already kind of crazy, and you're blurring the line between reality and craziness with these drugs. So I started to scare myself. So without touching my own throat or anything, I vomited up the mushrooms. And a lot. And then all of a sudden, I was sober. And then when I came to, I realized I had thrown up on a picnic blanket where about a family of Puerto Ricans were having a picnic. they just stared at me. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm a mushrooms. Pass some potato salad.
God, dude.
Kids, the grandmother, the whole thing. The whole family was there.
So... So what, you decided that you didn't want to be, tripping, so you just would throw up?
Yeah, well, my mind, without thinking I'm going to throw up, or I should throw up, my body made me throw up. It was weird. It's my mind was like, let's not do this anymore. And my body was like, all right, you heard him, and just did it without communicating.
Barf. But, dude, I heard, I don't know if this is true, I heard that if you do mushrooms and you throw up, it actually makes you trip harder.
Yes, that's what I heard.
Now, that didn't happen for me. Well, maybe they didn't get further in there,
Literally tripped over a Puerto Rican family that was having a picnic. and then threw up.
They were straight tripping after that.
And was only stabbed twice.
Oh, my God, dude.
It would not happen. Did you guys ever do, hallucinogens? Oh, then, you know Lenny Marcus.
Sure. I didn't think he'd come up on this drug stuff.
No.
He's like the straightest shooter in the world.
Lenny Marcus is so clean. He's so clean cut. No drinking, no drugs.
Can I fix a computer? It never ends with my mother.
I love him.
I've been shaking bake Lenny.
Funny guy.
Too. He's getting married.
Funny guy.
He's got a great girlfriend.
He's 57 years old. He's getting married.
Is he 57?
No, dude.
Lenny, what are you getting married for? You're 140. So what, you have a drug story that involves Lenny Marcus?
Yeah, remember Jason Steinberg used to have those parties, those birthday parties. He'd rent out a nightclub.
Oh, those were fun.
He was 13.
Yeah, those were
13th
fun.
Street.
Right.
Because he knew somebody had a deal at the door.
So I had some kind of ecstasy tab.
Right.
I guess there was probably too much heroin or something. So... I knew I was going to throw up, so I had to get the fuck out of the party. So I started running for the door, and I got almost outside, and there was all these velvet ropes, and I just vomit all over the velvet ropes, and no one's around, and then I turn around, and guess who's standing there? Lenny Marcus just goes, Jesus Christ.
If you're listening, you got to Google Lenny Marcus and get a picture of him when you hear Brian doing that impression. Dude, that's unbelievable.
A recurring theme of the vomiting, but it's still
very drug stories, not vomiting stories.
But it was vomiting
but
drugs,
drug
dude.
Vomiting stories fit in fine.
It was great, dude. Those were hilarious, man.
Oh, that's crazy, dude.
No, and then the other one's just when I started marijuana, that was fun.
Yeah.
When you first do it.
You laugh a lot in your early days of marijuana.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God,
I've never laughed like that since, I don't think.
Yeah, exactly.
Whew.
Yeah, I was sitting there in college and looking out the window, and my friend put on a song that started with a UFO sound effect.
Right.
So I thought a UFO was coming. And I was really stoned, and I thought a UFO was coming, and I got scared. And then my friend was just playing along with it because he's just being silly. He's like, oh my God, what the hell? Oh my God. And then when the song kicks in, he starts dancing. So I realized he was just lying and faking, so I started laughing. And I was drinking something, so I spit it out into the sink. My crucifix hit the sink, and they all thought I spit out a tooth, and that just made me laugh even harder.
Everyone thought you spit a tooth out?
Like, he just spit his tooth out, and I couldn't explain myself, so I couldn't stop laughing. So I ran outside, and I just laid down on a mattress, like, in the bedroom.
Dude, I thought you were
going to
say you threw up.
I thought you were going
to
say you vomited.
I threw a pool of a whole bunch of midgets playing golf.
What? Wait, hold on.
No, I just made that part up.
Yeah. Oh, damn it. You don't have to divulge that. You could leave that out there.
No, I like that ending. Though.
Poetical. It's just a whole bunch of midgets playing golf. Midgets playing real golf, not miniature golf. You rarely see midgets on the full-size golf course. Oh, we're going to get in trouble. We're not supposed to say midgets, right?
No.
Well, yeah, if you saw a sign that said miniature golf, and it was just a bunch of like dwarves and midgets playing golf, that's it.
Miniature golf, yeah.
Miniature
golf. Anyway.
Not a miniature course. That's amazing, dude. Those are hilarious. Do you have any other drug stories you want to share?
Well, that story still continues. I ran.
Oh, right. Sorry.
I laid on a mattress just, and I couldn't stop laughing. And then I turned around, and my two friends were just kind of peeking around the doorway like a Scooby-Doo cartoon, with concerned faces but confused, just watching me laugh. And that made me laugh even harder. So I ran outside in the apartment building hallway. And I just sat on the top of the stairs, and I was just catching my breath. And then at the bottom of the stairs, my other friend, Mike, just comes in the door, and he goes, "Hey, Brian, you going to the bars tonight?" And I was like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Me too." So he started dancing, so I started dancing. And then I turned to my right, and my two friends, who were staring at me like Scooby-Doo, were now staring outside the apartment door at me. Like one head over the other head. They were the look of confusion and fear and concern, but they couldn't see my friend dancing at the bottom of the stairs. All they could see was me dancing and talking to nobody.
That's awesome.
Stories are like telling people your dreams. Like, they're only entertaining you, really.
No, dude.
No, it's great.
Very funny.
Great story.
Very funny, man.
What'd you say?
Yeah, that line of thinking, it doesn't make any sense.
Dude, that's so funny.
That was
the first time you smoked weed?
That was like number three or number four. I think number four was...
Dude, the first time I ever tried, I never smoked until I was in college. And I was in college.
Oh, you didn't? Yeah.
And my friend was like, "Yeah, just try it, man, whatever." And I'm like, I don't know. And finally, I'm like, "All right, whatever, I'll try it, I'll smoke." So I smoked a little bit, and I just started, same thing, everything was hilarious. I couldn't stop laughing, I was talking to everybody, it seemed like I was talking to everyone all at once. And
everybody's looking at you, that's what happens to me, everybody's looking at me, you know, but yeah.
Yeah, and so like, I'm like, "Oh, this is a great night, this is so fun, man, it was such a great time." And I just, all of a sudden, I realized, and this is over at my friend's house where like eight of my buddies live, I realized that everyone else has gone to bed. I'm the only dummy sitting in the living room by myself. I'm like, "What the hell happened? Where is everybody?" And I literally thought they all just got up and walked out of the room as a joke. And I went around and looked in their rooms, and they were all sound asleep. I'm like, "What the hell happened? How long have I been sitting here by myself?"
Who knows how long you were sitting there for?
Well, you lose track of time.
Oh, man, I was out of it.
That's
brilliant.
Yeah, the marijuana
I was like,
in the early
do this
days
more.
Yeah. Marijuana in the early days, it's nothing. There's nothing like it. Oh. Now I smoke weed, and I just get a little silly, and I get a little relaxed, but nothing like those first, like, 10 times.
It's your normal. Is it your normal now, would you say?
Well, it's how I want normal to be. You know, if you're stressed, a little weed. If you're in traffic, a little weed. You got an 8-hour drive to fucking Arizona, a little weed. You know, but it's thank God it exists.
Yeah.
But you know, it's not like it was.
Those were fun. Well, dude,
thanks
so much, man. Do you want to stay on? Can you stay on for a little bit, or you need
I was going to tell you one quick story. Remember Darren? My friend Darren, the guy who you sumo wrestled down in front of Boston Comedy Club?
Oh, yeah, he came and gave me a big hug or something.
Yeah, you guys almost sumo wrestled, and then you just both hugged.
Yeah, I remember, yeah, he's just, like, giving me this weird look. We were just staring each other down, and then we started wrestling, and it just turned into, it was like a hug.
Yeah, it was very funny.
Yeah, I remember that dude. He's a funny guy. He's a funny guy, man.
He's a very big drunk, and I'm a big stoner. So it's a very funny combination, a stone guy hanging out with a drunk guy all the time.
Right.
So one time he was trying to tell me about monkfish. I never heard of monkfish before at this point.
Right. That's in upstate New York, isn't it?
Yeah. He's like, monkfish eat a lot of fish. They eat other fish. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, but you know what, Brian? They only eat the head. They only eat the tail because the head's only good for soup. Now, what he's saying is that he switched from monkfish eating fish to when people catch monkfish, how they cook it and eat it. But he didn't say people. So I thought he was saying that fish only eat, the monkfish only eat tails because they save the heads for soup. So I thought Darren lost his mind. And I was like, Darren, fish don't eat soup. What the fuck are you talking about? I had to go home. I was laughing so hard. I just went home.
Oh my god! Oh, that's hilarious.
That's absolutely hilarious.
That is hilarious.
Anyway, dude. I love you guys, man.
Back at you, man.
So glad you could get on and do this. Do you have any dates to plug? Late November or into December? I know it's a little far out, but
yeah. No, November, December, I believe. Oh my god! Here we go.
No hurry.
November, I'm at the Laugh Factory in Reno, followed by the Laugh Factory in Vegas. And then the Comedy Mix in Vancouver. And December, nice. I'm at the Comedy Nest in Montreal and the Absolute Comedy in Ottawa.
Oh,
and
then Sidesplitters
in Tampa.
Do you have a website? Sorry, what did you say?
No, I'm in Tampa on New Year's Eve, Sidesplitters.
Oh, dude.
So I just came from there, dude. It was great.
I know. You asked me how the condo was, and I told you.
You did tell me how the condo
Side
was.
Sidesplitters, Bobby Jewell.
Yeah.
This ain't my first rodeo.
Yeah.
We know it's not your first rodeo. Stop saying that, Bobby. That's a fun gig. Well, dude, you got a lot of gigs coming up.
That's
man.
Great,
Where can
man.
People get the dates for those gigs?
BrianScolaro.com.
Brian Scolaro, yeah.
Scolaro,
right?
Brian.
Or is it A-R?
La Roll.
Skull.
La
Roll. Hey, man, it was great seeing you guys.
Roll.
You, When I started stand-up, you two became my best friends in stand-up, the two of you.
That's
you know, and if I could throw another one in there, I'd say Russ Maneve.
A good
but
man.
Like you two, yeah, like you three, well, you are my fucking closest friends in stand-up, and I love you guys both very much.
Back at you, bro.
Nice, man. Back
Thank
at you,
you that's
dude,
very
for
nice.
Sure. What about my friend Goose, skinny as a whale?
Russ would have loved that.
that was a hilarious
night. You know
when
you stoned, you try to pretend you know what's going on? So you said he's skinny as a whale when you meant to say skinny as a rail.
Yeah.
And I was like, because I was stoned, I was like, yeah. And Russ thought that was so funny that I pretended to understand what the fuck you meant. Skinny as a whale.
That was and hilarious.
Marijuana is the best.
Dude, this was awesome. Thanks so much for doing it. Love you too, man. We'll talk soon.
Take care, guys.
Later.
Bye-bye.
That's Brian Scolaro. Everybody, go check
the one the only.
Go to his website and check out those dates. He's a very funny guy.
Yeah.
With
that sneezing joke. Check out that sneezing joke, everybody.
Ooh. We'll be back with more right after this. Hey, we're back. It's Tall But True. The stories, the tales may sound tall, but they are true. Or at least mostly true. Ben Bailey here with DC Benny. Just heard a great story from Brian Scolaro, a good friend of ours, great comic. Go see him if you get a chance.
Funny guy.
His website is BrianScolaro.com. That's what he said, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. I think they Google Scolaro. He'll be there.
Dude, I feel like we could have just told stories with Brian for so long. You know, like just so many funny things come up. As soon as you hear a good story, that's what's great. That's the whole idea of this show, I think. We get some guys together, some people together who have good stories, and you start telling them. And then if you hear somebody telling a good story, you think of one, and you want to tell one. And it's just, like, contagious. It's fun, and it's like a separate little realm that you get to go to.
Yeah, for sure.
So he has some great, crazy drug stories, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, and we covered the gamut. There was mushrooms. Yeah. I think there was LSD, and then there was marijuana.
I think he said heroin at one point.
I think
there's heroin in ecstasy.
In the coffee.
There's heroin. Dude, it's in the coffee. I'm like, that explains a lot. Well, have you ever done that? You ever did that?
Heroin?
Yeah.
No, bro. I'm not a hardcore drug user. I never was. I tried a few, you know. I tried just about, you know, most of the top 10, you know.
The top 10?
Yeah, or whatever. Most of them.
NyQuil.
right, aspirin. Aspirin is the best. But
weed's about my own list, about as far as I go.
I drink a little wine, smoke a little once in a while, a little smoke, and keep it like, that's kind of good for me. And
tried a couple other things once or twice.
I've definitely tried some. But the weirdest one I ever tried. The weirdest one I ever tried. Well, basically, when we lived up at the top of Brooklyn, right near Manhattan for a while, in Brooklyn Heights. And
I remember, by the bridge there.
Yeah, by
that
the Brooklyn Bridge.
That was a great place, dude.
That was great. It was fantastic.
You could see it from the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah. Yeah. We were there, and I remember I had a showcase in L.A. So that's, you know, it was a Barry Cat showcase, man. So, you know.
Right.
It's going to be, hey, man, you're going to go out there in front of the industry, you're going to kill, man, you're going to be on fire, man. And congratulations, before anything happened.
Like,
congratulations.
Yeah. I'm not going to be there.
So I was like, so he kept telling me, he's like, wear a suit, man, wear a suit. And I'm like, you know, as a comedian, I am not really comfortable performing in suits. I mean, I'll do it if I have to, but I'm like, ugh.
You know, I hear that. Yeah.
I just, for that kind of thing, it's already kind of stressful. You know, I'm like, all right, so it's in the back of my mind. So there's a little deli there that
in Brooklyn Heights.
No, Brooklyn, in Brooklyn Heights, where we're living. And my wife calls it the dirty deli. You know, because you go and you're like, oh, Jesus, sweep the fucking floor. I mean, it's like a dead roach in the corner of this. But you pick your magazines up. At the time, we were buying cigarettes, this, that, or whatever. Right. And the guy was a big Mr. T fan. Like, it was this Yemeni guy. And they're, you know, from Yemen. And he had a picture of him with an AK-47 back in Yemen. Like, you know, smiling or whatever. It was just like what everybody carried around, I guess. And nice. Then... behind the counter, there were all these Mr. T things. It was like a Mr. T bobblehead. There was Mr. T, like all this memorabilia. There was a T-shirt, like tacked up with thumbtacks of Mr. T and the A-Team, everything.
Sorry, I just thought I called for a scream.
Wait, some special effects. Special effects. We have So we got the
seemed appropriate. It's a little frightening to me that the guy has all this Mr. T.
But
stuff.
It's all back there. There's I remember there was a row of bobbleheads, and it's just Mr. T sitting there. So it was great. So but this guy's always up all the time. I'm like, this store never really closes for a couple hours, and it's really kind of open almost all the time. It's the same guy there.
It's always the same dude, 24/7.
I always see him chewing. Right, I always see him chewing. So I have a plane to catch the next day. I go in, I'm catching the plane to L.A. to go do this Barry Cat showcase thing.
Right.
And, so I'm nervous, whatever. So I go to the deli to get my wife some cigarettes or something like that. And I see the guy chewing. I'm like, hey, man, what is that you're chewing? He's like, it's got. I'm like, what's got? He's like, you know, it's nice. You it's like natural, like a plant. If you don't sleep, it make you sleep. If you're nervous, it's really good. I'm like, really? Because I'm like, I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. I'm a little nervous. He's like, it's good. And I'm like, it's just a plant. He's like, it's just a plant. You chew it. You come back tonight, maybe 10 o'clock. You can taste it. Whatever. It's fine. You sleep like a baby. It's good for your love life and everything. I'm like, all right. Shit, that sounds all right. And I'm like, I have a flight to catch tomorrow. He's like, you're fine, right? So I get there. I think it was like 10 or 11. And, you know, I'm like, I'm going to check this out.
Same guy's there.
But there's three other guys, and they're sitting in a semicircle, the metal gate's halfway down, so I got to duck under it. They unlock the door, pull the gate down.
Now, part like I'm safe in here, and part like I can't get out.
Yeah, both of those things. The metal gate is down, the door's locked. It's four Yemeni guys, and they're sitting and they're talking, and there's like behind them is a row of magazines, because it was a magazine smoke shop, you get, you know, that kind of thing, and newspapers. And they're sitting on these crates in a circle, and I sit on a crate, and we're talking, and the guy kind of is, he's like, this is Benny, he live, you know, around, you know, and they're like, wahale, wahale, and I'm like, nah, I don't speak it. And then he's like, yeah, he's Yehudi or whatever. And I'm like, eh. And I'm like, did he just say, he just said I was a Jew? I'm like, holy shit. So they got quiet, right? It got kind of quiet. So he brings out these plants, and it's these long plants pulled out of the ground. There's still dirt on the roots. And he's like, just chew it and whatever. So we're all sitting around. We're chewing. At first I'm chewing. I'm like, this is disgusting, man. This shit is, it's like eating, I don't know. You go into the woods, you pick a random plant and decide to chew on it. It's just nasty. And then he brings around the soda. He's like, if take the taste away. So you take a little sip of the soda. I'm chewing the plant. I'm like, damn. After a minute, I'm like, damn, this is about the best thing I've ever chewed on. Oh, my God. I've never chewed on anything this fucking good before. It's delicious on every level. I love the texture. I love the juice. Oh, my God. And it's got to be good for you. It's just a plant. So I'm like, damn. And I'm looking around and everybody else is like, nang, 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 nang. And we're chewing on this shit, right? We're talking. They're like, yahoo, they wahale, 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 wahale. We're talking. The guy picks up a newspaper. There's a Hasidic rabbi on the newspaper that's a Hasidic dude that's a landlord that has just fucked these people out of their apartment. And he's like, he is bad, Yehudi. He's like, you're good, Yehudi. You're good. You're good. Don't worry. You're good. He puts that down. We're chewing this shit. And after about like an hour, I'm like, all right, guys, this is great, but I got to go, right? I look at the clock. It's like 6 a.m. I'm like, holy fuck, right?
Holy shit.
They pull the metal gate up, dude. It's light. It's starting to get light out. So I'm like, holy shit. Oh, I get home. God, my wife is getting ready for work. She's like, where the fuck were you? I'm like, I was at the dirty store. She's like, at that dirty store. I'm like, yeah, I was. And, you know, and she's like, you got a flight to catch. I'm like, I know. And I can't stop chewing. I'm like, nang, 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 nang. I cannot. I don't have anything in my mouth. She's like, what's wrong with your mouth? Why do you keep chewing? Why are your teeth all green? I'm like, I had this. Nang, 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 nang. So I can't stop chewing, right? So now I got these tickets. And the tickets, I got Tony Woods.
Right.
Introduced. I was like, Tony. No. I was like.
Tony Woods. Yeah. Into the equation.
A great comedian.
I said it before and I'll say it again.
A great comedian, one of the all-time best, one of the all-time best.
Absolutely. And, hilarious. Absolutely hilarious.
Always has a hookup for travel. So he's like, I got this guy, Horse was the guy's name or something. Like a
horse. A man called Horse?
Yeah, for real. And you don't want to know why he's named Horse, you know? You don't want to know. And he's like, Horse work at the airplane, you know, at the airport, man. You're going to take this, give him cash for the ticket. So I got like a round trip ticket for like, it was nothing, right? It was like 150 or 200. I don't remember what it was.
Horse on your ticket.
Yeah. I get out to LA. I'm on the whole plane, right? I'm chewing. I'm like, what the fuck did I do? What did I? But and you know, and otherwise I feel very good. Very, very good. You know? I get there.
Otherwise I feel very good.
You know, I don't sleep. Like that's like you're supposed to sleep. It says you're supposed to sleep, but it had an opposite effect on me. It woke me the hell up. So I'm like, nang, 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 nang. Wow. What can I do? Nang, nang, nang.
Is your whole body like tensed, or you're just, it's just your like jaw?
Just the jaw from the chewing. It was just the jaw from the chewing. The rest of you is, you're very alert and crisp. And, you know, you're alert and crisp.
Hello, flight attendant.
Yeah. There's every, you're
will
very.
You be coming around with a beverage service?
In tune to every detail. So. Nice. I get there. I have the showcase. I think it's that night. I don't know. But I don't sleep. I put on the suit. Like Barry told me, I'm like, God, I got a suit. And I'm like, nang, nang. Now it slowed down a little bit. Nang, nang. I get to the showcase. Barry's like, you're going on first, man. I'm like, going on first. You know? And he's like, don't worry. I got a great comedian that's going to warm him up. This guy goes out. This guy's not a comedian. He's a radio show dude.
No.
So he doesn't even have, there's no act, you know? So he's just like, hey, you know, Scott and Phil in the morning. It's Phil. Welcome. Yeah. You know, that guy.
Phil, you know,
me from
the radio.
Phil, yeah.
How's it going, man?
Hey, two guys walk into a bar with a parrot.
Two guys walk into a bar.
So they're not a...
It's Phil in the morning. With his sidekick. Douchebag. We're basically doing that same thing right now.
Yeah, what can we do? Right, so hey.
I thought you could use a little music cue.
I appreciate it.
All right, so this guy...
The guy goes out.
The guy is emceeing the show, and yeah, you have to go on first.
And I'm going on first. They're not warmed up at all. It's like they're getting there late, and it's all industry people that, you know...
Right.
It'd be nice to warm them up so you can, you know...
Nice to warm them up. Also kind of impossible to warm up industry people.
At any rate, went up there ate my sack. I just ate my sack, you know.
Brutal.
So I go to leave. I've never worked
chewing
at this club before.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah,
boy,
yeah,
did
yeah.
I ate balls.
Oh, it's brutal.
You know, and I had one Chinese joke, you know, and after I did it, that I usually kill the look in the front, and there was a Chinese guy staring at me just with hatred. And it wasn't a bad joke, but it just hated me. This dude just hated me, and everybody was looking at him, and they're like, oh, my God. You know, oh shit. It was horrible, and you know, and I love the Chinese. So went to China, loved it. I go to leave. I've never worked this club before. I have these big dress shoes on that I've just gotten.
Right.
I go to leave. I don't see the edge of the stage. The heel of my dress shoe gets caught, and I fall off the fucking stage
into
the front of the crowd onto the Chinese dude. Right.
Oh no.
And just oh my god. And that gets a laugh, though. That gets an actual laugh.
I'm sure it was like, whoa!
Oh, and I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. I get up. I'm like, oh man, I'm sorry, whatever. And I go to walk away. Now the heel of the shoe is broken off, and I didn't know
right.
that. So I'm clumsy already, dude. I take my second step, assuming there's going to be a big heel there, and I just fucking like do some like cripple move and you know, trip, and Barry comes over. He comes walking out, and he's like, hey man, what the fuck happened, man? He went from being really nice to really fucking honest. He's like, what the fuck happened out there, man? Jesus. He's like, your heel's on the stage, man. Your shoe, you left your shoe part on the stage, man. So it was horrible. So anyway, the next day I get a meeting. I do get a meeting, and I show up
from
to the meeting.
With Ringling Brothers, Barnum & Bailey's.
I won't say the name of, God. Yeah, boot, doot, doodle, welcome. In the meeting, and I'm trying to like, I'm like, hey, last night. And they're like, oh, we weren't there last night. We were going to come and see, but we weren't there. But we wanted to meet with you anyway. So I'm like, thank God they weren't there. So I got a shot. Maybe.
Right,
so.
Right.
I'm talking to them, and they're not too interested. And all of a sudden, I see all these agents, like, going, everybody in the agency is going, like, flocking to the front of the agency. I'm like, well, what's going on?
Oh, somebody's showing up.
Someone's showing up. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what's going on? I've never seen this before.
Yeah.
And the guy goes, that's tea time. I'm like, tea time? Fucking Mr. T walks in, right? Mr. T walks into the agency.
God, no way.
So I'm like, and he's looking kind of rough. Like there's like a little piece of the mohawk missing. You know, he's looking like he had a resurgence since, but back then he looked, it was like a rough day. So the guy's like, look, here's what happens. When he comes in, he likes to sign autographs and everything. He likes to do that. Can you just get in line? We all get in line every time. That's what we call tea time. And, you know, get the autographs, and he says stuff and whatever. Could you do that?
That's hilarious.
And I was like, yeah, all right, I'll do it. And
he pretends that it's all, like, genuine.
It's just agents, you know.
But it's agents, like,
so,
checking up to him.
We get in line or whatever, and he's great. He's like, you know, and he'll say stuff to each person. He's like, to buy your mama a house or stay in school, fool, stay in school.
Stay in
like,
school,
he says
fool.
All his things, right?
Yeah.
I get up there.
Buy your mama a house.
And he's got the poster already. They got the poster there. He's
right.
Like, who do you want to make this out to? I was like, dude, Muhammad, man. Make it out
course.
To Muhammad.
Muhammad, yeah.
So, boom. So he makes it out to Muhammad and everything. And,
oh, my God, dude. You brought...
I got a Mr. T poster for Muhammad, right? So I was very psyched. Never worked out with the agency. Next day, I show up to the airport. I got the fucking poster. I'm going back. I'm done. It didn't work out, but I'm always happy to leave LA and go back to New York. I'm always like when I'm like, ah, I'm back in my territory where shit makes sense to me, you know?
A lot of guys feel that. I like going to LA.
Now, I like LA. I like if shit is going on for you in LA, it's a great place to be. If you're if you're struggling, you know, if you're banging around, there's a lot of dudes just banging around. But if you've got, you know, some shit going on, it's much nicer.
I just like the weather. And
the weather's sweet.
You know, I try to go out there at least, you know, I go a few times a year, but I try to go out there when it's cool here because, you know, it's cold here. But, wow, man.
But check this out. Here's the best part of the story, all right? It has a point.
Pretty crazy.
I get to the airport, and I check in, and the lady's like, oh, we don't have any ticket for this number because all I have is a number. We don't – there's so I call the horse guy. And I'm like, horse, the number doesn't work. So horse is like, oh, just try this number. Right? So I tell the lady that number, horse and I have the phone. And right when I say the number, it's like 357128B. Right when I get to B, he's like, no, don't say that number. Don't say that number. Say this number. And I'm like, it's too late. I already said that number. He's like, fuck. He's like, say this number. So I go, he tells me number. I'm like, 347. She's like, no, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. She's like, oh, this credit card was bought on a ticket was bought on a stolen credit card, so we can't do anything with any of these numbers. And I'm like, oh. And she's like, if you want a ticket, you'll have to pay cash now. So we're not taking any credit cards from you. We're not doing whatever. So I'm like,
Jesus,
fuck.
Dude.
So I'm like, is there an ATM here? She's like, yeah, around the corner. I'm like, yeah, fucking horse. But he's off the phone, right? So I'm like,
of course.
So I go to the ATM. I get out some cash.
Of course.
So I pay. I forget what it is. It's like, you know, it's not cheap. I get on the plane. The plane lands. I think it's JFK. Plane lands. The door opens. Five guys in suits get on the plane. They're like, everybody, please stay seated. Everybody, please stay seated. We're looking for a Benjamin Wartofsky, which is my real name, right?
My God,
that's my real, you know, my Christian Jewish name. We're looking for, and I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. And so I'm like, I'm not going to say anything. And they're like, Benjamin Wartofsky, we know you're on this plane. Nobody's getting off this plane. So now people are looking around. And this is right after 9/11, dude. This is like after 9/11, right? So finally, I'm like, I'm got to say. So I'm like, ah, it's me. And they're like, come with us. And everybody stay. You got a suitcase. They grab my bag and everything. They take me to this back room at the airport, right? They're like, all right, you purchase a ticket with a stolen credit card. I'm like, no. I got it from this guy. What was the guy's name? I'm like, horse something. I don't know. I mean, I really don't know his name, you know? And they're like, going through my bags. They didn't even ask. They're going through my bags. Yeah, so the guy opens up the poster and he's like, wait a minute. You said you're a DC Benny, a comedian. Now we're finding out you're Benjamin Wartofsky. Who is Muhammad, right?
Oh, no.
And I'm like, dude.
I didn't even think about that.
I'm like, that's a guy that's a Mr. T fan. And he's like, what's your relationship with this Muhammad? I'm like, he's got a deli. He's got a deli. Oh, my God, dude. I finally got out of there. I got out of there. And I called up Tony Woods. I'm like, dude, man. He's like, man, how was your flight? I was like, how was my flight, dude? I'm like, I got pulled off the fucking plane by the fucking FBI or some shit. And he's like, my fault, shorty. My fault, shorty.
That's what he said.
My fault, shorty, yeah. He was laughing, too. My fault, shorty.
Oh, shit, dude. That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Well, it's not that unbelievable because I know Tony. Holy shit. So did you get to go back and give the guy the poster?
Oh, I did, yeah. They let me keep the poster. Muhammad got his poster. He lost his fucking mind.
He was crazy.
He lost his mind, dude. That thing was up there. And then that store mysteriously burnt down.
That store burnt down?
Yeah, under mysterious circumstances.
He was just standing in there chewing cats as it burned. Oblivious.
I think there was some insurance thing. I don't know. Who knows? But,
dude, cat. Mm. Chewing cat with Ben Wartofsky. What a great story. We'll be back with more right after this. That was great, dude. That was absolutely hilarious, man. Loved it.
I hope it works, man. I hope it works. Of course, you always forget part.
All right, welcome back, Tall But True, Ben Bailey, and
DC Benny here, man.
Still at it, still telling stories, hearing great stories. We heard some great stuff from Brian Scalero, who called in.
Yeah.
Check out his website, BrianScalero.com. DC, you haven't plugged anything, man. Where should people go to check you out?
I'll be at Comedy Nest in Montreal in November, but I'm all around New York City normally.
And what's your website and all?
DCBenny.com. You know, what is it? The Real DC Benny on Instagram, that kind of stuff. On Twitter, I think it's The Real DC Benny, too. I have to figure out my handle on Twitter, man. I can never remember that. I think it's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. I'm the same way, man. I'm like,
it's like another thing I can remember this.
Facebook, what?
Yeah.
I'm not great with the social media, but,
You know.
I've been working at it to lead up to the launch of this podcast show and all these other things, so.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of stuff, dude. You're doing,
trying to keep up.
Stuff. That's what you gotta do, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you gotta do. Yeah.
So, we're back to the subject of drugs.
Drugs, yeah. We're telling drug stories. You probably have something to say about that.
I have some mild experience. I haven't really done much other than I like to drink beer, not a drug. Well, alcohol, I guess, is considered a drug, but I smoke some weed from time to time, but I don't really do much other than that. Yeah. Except once in a while when I was younger, same kind of thing as you were saying, I would try stuff out. Like I remember I tried mushrooms once, and that was pretty intense. My buddy and I and these two girls were like, I think they got them. The girls were like, yeah, let's try some mushrooms. And we were like, all right, well, yeah, we'll try it. So I only ate a little bit. I ate like one stem and one little bit of a cap or something. And one of the girls started throwing up like mad. And she started like going, she was losing it. She started to like really trip hard. She ate too much. She was eating them like they were potato chips.
Oh, no.
And so they just left. The two girls, the one girl started like freaking out. So the other girl was like, we have to leave. And so my friend was like, all right, I guess I'll make sure you guys get home. Okay, so they all left. And I'm just sitting there in my apartment by myself. And then I'm like looking out the window. I started thinking I was hearing stuff. I was looking out the window and the walkway. I was on like the fourth floor. The walkway for the apartments across from me just were like, there was like a wave going up and down.
It's like melting a little.
Walkway.
Ooh.
It wasn't melting. It was like, it just had waves in it.
Ooh. Yeah.
And then I was like just walking around, furiously walking around my tiny little one-bedroom apartment. And
sounds like fun.
Like doing laps. But then I was like, oh, maybe I'll put some music on or something. And then I'm like talking to somebody. And it's my buddy who left. And I'm like, oh, dude, great, you know. I'm talking to him, all of a sudden I'm like, where are you, man? Like, dude, where are you? I'm looking all over the place for him.
Yeah.
I'm on the phone with him. And it's not a cell phone, I'm tethered.
That's why you're walking around.
Where he is. I'm holding a phone, I'm like, maybe this isn't the best thing for me.
Yeah.
But, I think the craziest night I ever had when there was substances involved, me and several of my buddies decide we're going to go into Newark, New Jersey one night. A buddy of ours is going to school at a college there, studying science. And apparently in the chemistry lab, some guys there have made some acid.
Oh, no.
In the lab at the school, right? So we're like,
they just made it.
Yeah, they made it. So we're like, all right, let's go. We'll try it. I'm like, I'll try a tiny bit. I'll try a quarter of what people normally try. And we go, and we pile into my little Honda CRX. Five of us.
Oh, man. I'm just imagining you driving it. You know?
I know. It's too small for me by myself, but I got four other dudes in there. We're all piled in the back. And I'm driving like a maniac around Newark. I'm just running red lights. One point we skidded out in the middle of an intersection and the car like spun halfway around and then we just took off going and made a right when we were, looked like we were going to go left. We spun all the way around and turned and went to the right and we were all laughing. It was like we were maniacs. I don't know how we survived that period of our lives. So we get to my friend's place and it's a gated community in Newark.
This is where the dudes made the acid.
This is
in
where
the
dude, our friend lives who knows the dude who made the acid.
Okay.
So it's a condo development. It's like a brand new one. It's like the nicest one in Newark at the time.
Uh-huh.
So we go there, and we go in through the gate, and there's a parking spot right in front of his
How
place.
Was Newark at that time?
Newark was not a safe place to yeah. be at night at that time.
That's what I remember of Newark, yeah. So when you say so the nicest.
We're like really relieved. We're like, oh, we can park in here. We just go into his place, and that's it. Because we're a bunch of kids from Chatham, New Jersey. Newark, it's just down the road, but it's a different world. So we get a parking spot right out in front, and we go in. And the dude who was making the stuff hasn't shown up yet. But we've got all this booze. These guys bought all this booze. We're smoking and we're hanging out and we're talking and we're bullshitting, waiting for these guys to get there. At some point, my buddy goes, "Where did you park?" And I'm like, "Oh, right, just right out in front, man." And he goes, "Oh, dude, you got to move. You can't park there." I'm like, "It has the number for your unit on the parking spot." He goes, "I know, but I can't. I don't use the spot. We rent it out. You can't park there. They're going to tow your car."
I'm like, crap.
Okay, fine. I'm like, "Somebody come with me. I'll go move my car." They're like, "All right, somebody." I think my buddy, another friend of mine, is like, "I'll go with you." So we go and we look around. We find a spot on the street, not that far away. We're able to leave my car out on the street. And then we go back in. Eventually, the guy shows up, right? We've been sitting there. We got this big, there's a big bottle of vodka, and there's like schnapps, and there's tons of beers.
All the stuff that goes with acid,
and
right?
Chips, yeah, right.
Homemade acid,
and
Super
chips
Bowl.
And dip, And like, we've been there for 2 hours, and we've hardly made a dent in it. And this dude shows up with the homemade goods, and we split it around, and I take a little tiny bit. Everybody takes a little tiny bit.
Yeah.
Put it on our tongues. Put it under your tongue, whatever. Time goes into fucking hyperdrive. It's like one of those sequences in a movie where everything is just like just going so fast. And I look down, and I look at the table, and there is nothing left. There's no vodka. There's no schnapps. There's no rum. There's no snacks. There's no water. There's no beer. Everything is gone. And we had, an hour before, we were like, "There's no way we're going to finish all this stuff." Everything's gone, and I can tell by looking around the room, we all feel like superheroes, man. I'm like, "I feel like I could fly right now, man. What the hell is this stuff?" Everybody agrees, and so we don't manage to stay in the unit for too long.
Yeah.
But, by the way, more than an hour has gone by. It just went by quick. Now yeah. It's probably 2 a.m. We're in downtown Newark. We're like, "Let's go out for a walk." And then we're like, "No, fuck that. Let's go out and play football."
Oh.
So we go out, and we start playing tackle football on a parking lot.
Oh.
A freshly paved parking lot. Pretty soon... My one buddy's got rollerblades on, but he doesn't know how to skate. He keeps falling on his knees, which are bleeding.
Oh.
But he doesn't seem to care. We've been playing football. We play football for like 45 minutes, running full speed all over the place, tackling each other on hardtop.
That's hardcore, bro. That's hardcore.
My one buddy's got a hockey stick. We've got a soccer ball. My other friend has got a thing of whiteout, and he's just sniffing it. He's just sniffing the whiteout. Now the sun's starting to come up.
Yeah.
And we're like, "Oh, it's morning. We should go for a walk around downtown Newark." So we decided to just go for a walk. I'm like, "Oh, we should bring beer." So we bring a 12-pack or a 30-pack, a half done. And we just set out and start roaming around downtown Newark at, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. There's nobody out there. At one point, we're just walking down a road that was freshly paved and was closed. This major road called Raymond Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
And it just was acted as like this crazy artery for us. We just walked right into the middle of downtown Newark on this empty road. No cars on it at all. Brand new, freshly paved. We get downtown, and this is when they were just starting to build the Performing Arts Center, the NJ PAC.
Oh, yeah.
The Performing Arts Center and the arena where the Devils play now.
Right.
All that stuff was it had just been decided that they were going to do it. So when we get downtown, we run into a tour group.
Oh, no.
There's all these people, potential investors. It's a Sunday morning. They figure it'll be quiet. There's all these potential investors, and there's a guy with the bullhorn. And he's talking about the project and blah, blah, blah. And we just come up and just stand there with the people that are listening. I have no shirt on. My one friend's got whiteout all over his face. We're crazed. My other friend's bleeding from the knees. And we just come up and stand there. And this dude That's with awesome. The megaphone is trying to make a pitch to get these like billionaires to invest in downtown Newark. And so he just rolls with it magnificently. He goes, oh, I see we have some students that have joined the group. He's like, welcome. And we're just like, what's up, man? And so we're standing there watching this whole thing. And we start chatting with these guys, these older guys. They were so cool. They're just like, oh, man, I miss those days when I could live the way you guys are living. Are you having fun? Is it great? You know, is it as good as I remember it? And we're like, yeah, it's great, man.
Did you get them to invest in the property?
I don't know if they invested in the property. But I know at one point we were like, oh, man, I don't have any smokes. My other friend's like, I don't have any cigarettes either. So we start panicking because we don't have any cigarettes. And so my buddy goes up and takes the bullhorn megaphone from the guy, grabs it out of his hand, and he just goes, may I have your attention, please? We are all out of cigarettes. We have no more cigarettes. If anyone has a cigarette for us, please see us over there. we all just wave. And it works. This dude comes over. He's like, oh, you guys need a smoke? He gives us cigarettes. And we're like, oh, my God, this is amazing. He takes a bunch of pictures of us, that guy. And so then we move on from there. We're still drunk. We're roaming around. We end up at a McDonald's. And they're just opening. It's like 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning. We go into McDonald's. I'm shirtless. We look like I just described. We're a mess. Like, if you saw us, you'd be like, oh, my God, what happened to you guys? We go into McDonald's. We get some food. We sit out on the parking lot of McDonald's, and we write in whiteout our names on the blacktop, and the year, and say Fufkins Conquer Newark, because someone dubbed us the Fufkins, this group of crazy dudes that I was running with. So we run Fufkins Conquer Newark, whatever year, you know. So we had this crazy night. Now we've eaten.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, I'm finally starting to slow down.
Wear off the homemade acid is wearing off.
The whole thing's kind of wearing off a little bit. We go back to the condo. We go in there. We're still drinking beers, but we're still up hot. You know, we're still burning fast. And so we're still drinking. And then someone's alarm clock starts going off. And we all start freaking out like like Nick Nolte in that movie where he's in the demolition tank.
God damn it,
what the hell? We start freaking out like it's going to kill us, this alarm clock, and we can't turn it off. And so we're going crazy with that, and then we're like, let's get out of here. And somehow we're like, let's go get my car. We go find my car or whatever. We're going to my car for something. We go looking for my car. It's gone. It's not there. It takes me a little while to really understand that my car has been stolen. Right?
Oh, no. Well, Newark.
So eventually, we figure out my car has been stolen. There's no other explanation for it. We call the cops, call the Newark cops. After the night we've had, nobody's gone to bed. It's like 8:30 in the morning now. Call the cops. The cops are like, we'll be over. We'll send a car over as soon as we can. So we're waiting around. We're looking. My one buddy, the guy who lives there, and I are like, you know what? These guys are, it's going to be forever. Let's drive around and see if it's in the neighborhood. We've all like pretty much sobered up at this point. So we get in his Jeep and we go off to drive around the neighborhood. When we get back, we don't find the car, of course. When we get back to his place, we're pulling up outside. See, my other buddy is up on the porch, little landing going into his condo place. And he sees us coming and points, and I see him talking to the two officers. And he's pointing at us, and he's talking to the two officers. Next thing you know, the two officers run at my friend and I in the Jeep. And they run up to either side of the Jeep and draw their weapons and aim them at us. And they're like, get out of the Jeep. Get out of the Jeep. And my other friend is running over. He's like, no, those are not the guys that stole the car. I don't know who the guys that stole the car are. These are my friends that went to look for the guy. He's like, that guy is the guy whose car got stolen. Cops are still standing there with the guns on us. Finally, they put the guns away. They're like, okay. All right. sorry about that, guys. You just said those are the guys, so. I'm like, oh, my God, how would he know what the guys that stole the car look like? Unbelievable, right? So then we get back. We go back over to his place, and the cops are asking us about the car, details about the night, yeah. All this stuff, you know. But at the same time, these guys live in Newark, and they're seeing this condo that my friend lives in. And they're like, what is this? This is the nicest place I've seen in this town in a long time. So they are so much more concerned with getting information from him about the condo. They'll ask me one question about the car, and then they'll ask him three about his point. You know,
what's like, this floor this here? Car. What is this?
I was like, so what year is it? I'm like, 87. He's like, it's a Honda's Civic CRX. It's a black 87 Honda Civic CRX. He's like, mm-hmm, okay. He's making notes. And he looks at my friend, he goes, you got air conditioning? My buddy's like, yeah, we got air conditioning. Wall-to-wall carpet. Like, wall-to-wall carpet. You believe this? I'm like, can we talk about the car? So, my car is stolen. I just don't have it. I don't know what to do. We go back into his place. We fill out all the paperwork. We go back into the condo. We're sitting there. We're hanging out. We figure out through somebody talking to somebody that what the guy made and gave us was not what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be acid. No, it was speed.
Oh.
It was total speed. And we were just like jacked out of our heads.
That explains the football game in the parking lot.
Dude, we were like immortal. We were unstoppable. It was ridiculous. It was such a crazy, fun, unbelievable night. So the car's gone. We go back there. I got to get a ride. My buddy's like, I can't go back yet. So we all just kind of hang around there for the whole day. We get some food. Then he gives us a ride back out to our hometown, Chatham. And we get there, and like, I think I'm home for a half an hour.
Yeah.
And I get a phone call from the Newark Police Department. And they're like, you're not going to believe this. We found your car. I'm like, you found the car already? They're like, yeah, because they said over and over, we're not going to find your car. It's on a boat.
Yeah,
it's going already to Manila. On a boat.
Yeah.
They found the car. It broke down. The guys who stole it drove it for like two blocks, and it died. It just died on them.
Oh, I'm like, faithful
it's like,
car.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's like Trigger. It's like, yeah. No, I'm not taking you anywhere. You're the bad guy.
And it's a Honda. That never happens with Honda. Yeah, so, yeah.
It's unbelievable. The alternator went, and the car just died. And it's maybe because of something when they jumped, they wired it or whatever. But so it died, and I got the car back. But they stole my golf clubs out of it. They were like my favorite clubs that had been in my family. My dad gave them to me.
Sucks.
Yeah, it's just golf clubs, but I was pretty pissed about it. So anyway, that's the like one of the craziest nights of my life. In Newark, New Jersey.
That sounds pretty crazy.
Months go by. Months and months and months go by. I forget that the guy that we were talking to at the job site with the megaphone and all that asked me for my address. And one day I get an envelope in the mail, and it's addressed to me, return address to some guy. I don't know. I have no idea who the guy is. I open it up, and there's the pictures that the dude took of us at the future site of the NJ Performing Arts Center and all that. That guy took pictures of us, got my address, and mailed them to me.
Oh, you got to post that up. That's awesome.
Now I have pictures of us from that night. I will absolutely post them.
Oh, that's awesome.
You guys go to the site. You'll be able to see some of those pictures, coinciding with this episode.
Dude, that's great.
And that's like one of the craziest nights of my life for sure.
That's a hell of a drug story. That's a hell of a drug story. Took you one way. Is it acid? Nope, it's speed.
No, it's speed. That's why we're out of our minds. Just run. I feel like I could run forever, man. I think that's got to be it, man. I think we definitely conquered the drug topic.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be revisited in some way at some point down the road, but you know we've covered a lot of bases.
Yeah, absolutely. And special thanks to Brian Scalero who jumped in there last minute. That was great. That helped out a lot.
A lot of fun, bro. A lot of fun, man.
So
looking forward
fun,
to the
man.
Next one.
Tall but True, the Storyteller Show. Ish. I hope you guys keep listening. I hope you've enjoyed it so far. And some other topics like we could do. I realize we could do stories about throwing up.
I know. Just throwing up.
Just Brian. Could do a whole show. No, I mean, that's an interesting little niche. So more great shows to come, guys. Thanks again for listening. I'm Real Ben Bailey on Twitter. Check me out there. For November and December, what's left of November and December, I will be around New York City doing shows at the Comedy Cellar and the like. So thanks again for listening. Tall but true. See you next time.
Bye.